Please welcome once again Mr. Hodges.
Thank you. Good morning. Did you get some sleep? Right. I'm a little like that myself. You know, if there is something unique about the Christian faith, and there is, it's that we aren't a religion in the sense that we are not attempting to win God's favor by the work that we do. That's the good news. The good news is that we actually have had the law fulfilled for us. We don't have to fulfill the law anymore. God, Jesus has done it for us, and in doing it has given us what we call grace, completely unmerited favor. And now that we have this grace, the question is, how shall we then live? How do we live now that we know we have been forgiven? I had a Muslim friend, think about this as I was listening to the lecture yesterday, a friend who's a Muslim, and maybe I mentioned him, and we had an interesting long talk about the differences between Islam and Christianity. He was very respectful. He wanted to be very respectful. I tried my best to be respectful. But I was trying to explain to him this idea of grace, and I said to him, do you know whether or not you're going to be acceptable before Allah? Can you be confident that he's going to take you to himself, that you're going to be in heaven? And he said, oh, no, there's no way to know that until I stand before him in judgment. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's hell. How would you possibly live that way, you know? And I thought, this is going to blow his mind. I'm going to tell him about grace, and he's going to become a Christian right here in front of me, and it's all going to work out great. So I told him about the reality of that God has fulfilled the law. And he said, do you mind if I ask a question? I said, no. He said, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but are you trying to tell me that you could sit here in your library, which is where we were sitting, can you just sit here in your library for the rest of your life and never do another thing for God, and he would accept you? And I said, I don't want to say this cheaply, but yes. The answer is yes. Not because God doesn't want me to do things. That's not the point. But because while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. It wasn't because I did all the right things that he then embraced me and accepted me, you see. Now, the point is, there's now no condemnation. There isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's mind-blowing. Completely mind-blowing. So I could do not another thing for him, and he would still accept, because of his grace, not because of me. Well, I thought this was going to turn this kid's life around, right? You know what he said? It was very interesting. He said, what motivation then would you have to be a good person? Interesting question. You see, what he was saying was, if my eternal destiny is already understood, it's all accepted, it's all finished, it's all done, why shouldn't I just go out and be a horrible person? What would limit me? And I hope you know the answer. I hope you know that the only motivation now to do these things, to do the right thing, to be the moral person that God wants us to be, is out of gratefulness and love for him, for what he's given us, not out of fear. You see? And that is truly mind-expanding, mind-blowing. I thought he would get it, but he couldn't get it. He could not get that the motivation for doing good might be love. He thought the only thing that would motivate anybody to do good is fear. Well, he walked away in his ways, and I left in mine. We didn't convince either one of us was convinced by the neither of us was convinced by the other. But the play I want to talk about this morning talks about that very fact. I know I got you to raise hands about how many have seen the movie, how many have seen the musical. Les Miserables, the novel by Victor Hugo, and the subsequent plays and the subsequent movies, and then finally this film. Sorry, not movies, musicals, I mean, and then finally this film, take shots at trying to describe an amazing story that Hugo actually heard about once when he was working in the prison system. Hugo was a bit of an idealist and a bit of a social revolutionary a little. He really thought at one point in his life that the prison system was so barbaric that it needed to be reformed. And I don't doubt that it did in France, the early middle part of the 19th century. And in his work in the prisons, he came across a fellow who told a story. And the story was that he had been out on parole and had stolen a bunch of silver from this bishop. And when he was caught and brought back and brought to the bishop for the bishop to accuse him, the bishop didn't accuse him. He said, "I gave him that silver." He told the police, "I gave him that silver. And what's more, you forgot some." And he took some more silver and gave it to the convict and said, "See ya." And this was such a mind-blowing example of grace that it stuck in Hugo's mind. And he built basically the entire novel of Les Miserables, the miserable ones, around that story. And that's the story that I want to try and tell you about today in the music that these two composers have done in the musical. You know the difference between mercy and grace, right? You've probably heard this. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. As a guilty sinner, I deserve the punishment. But if the judge says, I'm not going to punish you, that would be mercy. You're a murderer and you were going to be executed, should be executed, but we're going to stay that execution and you're a free man. Wow, that would be great, wouldn't it? That's mercy. But that's not grace. Grace is if the judge said, we're not going to execute you, and by the way, here's $1 billion. See ya. Completely unearned. That is, if mercy is not receiving what you deserve, grace is receiving what you don't deserve. Above and beyond the wildest dreams that you've ever had. And that's what this bishop showed, Valjean, and that's what I'm trying to tell you about right now. The life that we live in Christ is a new life that we live as a result of the grace that he's shown us. We now live in love and are motivated by that. Now go out and do and be good. That's the motivation. Not because you're afraid you're going to lose something or break your relationship with God. He built a relationship with you before you were even thinking about him. But do it because of what he's done you. Now, two things came together to make me think this would be a good topic for our lecture today. And I'm going to do half of it now and half of it this afternoon. First of all, the movie came out in 2013, and with a revived interest in the musical, I thought it might be a good idea to talk about it and wrestle with these ideas that it addresses. But secondly, I conducted the musical, a production of the musical, last summer, last July. I coached the singers on their parts, and then I conducted 16 performances of the show. And it was an all-sung play. That is, it's like an opera. There are hardly any, in fact, I'm not sure there's any really spoken word in it. It's all sung. That means addressing my very favorite aspect about music, which is the relationship between the way the composer has composed and the words that he said. That relationship, where those two things come together, is where I really live. Just a little biographical information about Victor Hugo, French author, born in 1802, died in 1885. The novel that from which this is drawn is a 1,500-page novel. Anybody read Les Mis? Oh, wonderful, 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 wonderful. 1,500 pages unabridged. Of course, musicals can't use all the scenes from the book, and I can't, in the 2 hours that I've got, show you all the scenes from the musical, so we're getting a terrifically abridged version of both the novel and the musical. But Hugo was a romantic idealist at first and a supporter of the monarchy. And if you know anything about politics in France after the revolution, you know that there was an awful lot of turmoil and a lot of back and forth between those who were monarchists, those who wanted to reestablish the monarchy after Louis XVI was beheaded. You remember Louis and Marie, right? Marie Antoinette, the one who said, let them eat cake. Well, they were both beheaded in early 1790s. And after that, the first 30 years or so of the new republic, there was a lot of fight back and forth. So there were a lot of civil wars in France between 1800 and 1850 or so. Anyway, Les Mis is that Hugo at the beginning was a monarchist, and then he began to see that he couldn't get the justice that he was longing for by way of the monarchy, that was just going to be too corrupt. So he switched sides, and he became what you call a Republican. And don't confuse that with Republicans in the United States. It meant literally, I'm for a republic and instead of a monarchy. It wasn't Republic versus Democrat. So, anyway, he was a romantic idealist at first, and he supported it, the monarchy, but then he changed sides. Les Mis is a combination of the styles of his day. The style of the novel and the style of the setting of the novel is a combination of two things. Romanticism, which was big at the time, artistic and aesthetic sense of romanticism, and another thing, another style called realism. And it comes right between those two. If you know anything about history of art, romanticism can be seen in works like this one. Let me show you a painting. This is a painting by Eugène Delacroix, French painter. It's called Liberty Leading the People. And if you can see it, I don't know why that little thing is there. Let me see if I can get that to go away. There we go. If you can see this, this is probably one of the paintings that most inspired the look of the musical. This is a little like the barricades and the... Oh, thank you. The barricades and the men coming over the barricades and shouting and shooting and all the smoke and the French flag and dead bodies. And it's typical romantic painting. Symbolic of liberty. This is not a woman. This is a symbol of liberty, like a statue of liberty. You know, this is liberty. It's calling the troops forward, and everyone behind them in their civilian clothes. You see, they're not soldiers exactly. There's even a little Gavroche, if you know the show. There's a little boy on the right hand side with pistols, and he's screaming. So this is typical of romantic painting. Something is happening right now. There's a kind of immediacy to romantic painting, and romantic aesthetic. There's an event happening, and you can feel the bullets whizzing by your ear and calls to arms and smoke everywhere, and it's very dramatic and so on. That's typical of romanticism, French romanticism. But this painting, see if I can get on to the next bit, is an example of what we call French realism. This painting is a painting by a fellow called Millet, and this painting is called The Gleaners. Have you ever seen this before? Some of you have? This painting is a painting that was probably done in about 1850, something like that. The earlier one was 1830, I think. This is about 20 years, maybe 25 years later. And this, you see, there's activity going on, but it's a lot of calm activity. One of the things you might notice right off the bat is that there are no faces in the picture. They've purposefully kind of hidden their faces under hats and bent over and so on. You don't, in the realist mode, you don't usually see faces. And the reason is this. This is a painting not of individual people. This is a painting of a class of people. And if you know anything about Karl Marx, in 1848, he wrote a book called The Communist Manifesto. And in it, he called for the workers of the world to unite. And he called for an overthrow of the proletariat, the bourgeoisie by the proletariat, the middle class by the working class. And so that idea began to take root in the hearts and minds of a lot of artists in the second half of the 19th century, and they began to depict, especially like Niebuhr, began to depict the plight of the lower class, the difficulties of living as a lower class person. Now, if you take those two things and put them together, you get Les Miserables, because the first painting was about the revolutionary anger of being downtrodden by maybe the monarchy, and this is the picture of the Les Miserables, the people who are miserable, the people who are suffering. They're gleaning in the fields. You know about gleaning, I'm sure. So, I don't know whether Victor Hugo was a Christian or not. It's hard to tell, necessarily. But I know this, that he understood Christian principles in some ways and had respect for them. And he fought all of his life for the poor and for the imprisoned. And he fought poverty in his area. And he did work, as I said before, in the prisons. And along the way, he heard this great story about the priest who gave grace to this inmate. And that story is the key, I think, to understanding this this whole musical, the novel and the musical, the story. Now, on stage, there's a genuine conversion story. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about this show. You know, Les Mis has been on the stage as a musical for probably close to 30 years now. And it's translated into hundreds of different languages, and it's played all around the world. And every time, every night, someone is buying a ticket, often for a lot of money, to see a man converted to Christianity on the stage. That's what happens. And then, how he lives his life after his conversion. Now, the point of our talk today is that we can't talk about the whole musical, but I have seven clips that I want to play. So maybe three. If I can get four in, I'll do four, but if I can get three anyway in this session, and then the remainder in the session this afternoon. And one point I want to make before I push too far here, and that is that the film and the stage musical have a lot in common. Their literal tunes, actually, and words are the same. So the music is the same and the song. And the story itself is the same. Not making the mistakes that the old Liam Neeson movie did. If you've ever seen the old Liam Neeson straight play, not musical, but straight play film, they get the ending wrong. Don't watch that one. Or if you watch it, just recognize it's a different story than the one that's actually in the novel. But there are some key differences between the movie and the actual stage musical from which it's taken. The film production emphasizes the lyrics as lines to be acted out and is not as concerned with the singers and performing the music and the nuances of the music, and that bugs me. The stage production emphasizes the melodies as the way that the story is supposed to be gotten across, you see, as the meaning is going to be conveyed in the plot. And so that makes more of the ability of the cast to sing. You have to be able to sing it properly in order to get that across, in much the same way that an opera would do the same thing. Now, that's not to say that there are no singers in the cast of the film. There are some. Valjean and Eponine, I think, both do a creditable job in the movie. With some modification, they actually modified the music a little bit to fit their voices. However, it has to be clear to even the most wooden-eared of us that God has clearly not given every actor the ability to sing. Now, my design with this talk is to suggest how the plot of the play is reflected in the sometimes very subtle aspects of the music. I hope you'll forgive me if on occasion I offer some examples of the music from renditions other than the film. And I mean no disrespect in doing this. It's purely a public service. There are those of you who probably know the musical only through the film, and I'm uncomfortable allowing you to continue in what can only be called ignorance. The marvel of the work is that the words are conveyed through the music, something I'll spend the rest of my time trying to prove, and if the music is sung by an actor, however well-intentioned, who is less than gifted with a singing voice, the audience can't know the full effect. I will not name the actors that fall into this category, but one of them's initials is Russell Crowe. But perhaps after I show you a few alternate versions of some of the songs, you can make up your own mind. In the world of Les Mis, there are two kinds of people. There are good guys and there are bad guys. And both of them suffer. There you have it. There are good guys who suffer, like Jean Valjean, who's the main character. Cosette, his daughter, adopted daughter. Marius, the adopted daughter's lover. Eponine, the adopted daughter's friend growing up. The students that actually end up dying on the battlements, the barricade. And the oppressed poor. They're all considered les misérables, but they're good les misérables. But then there are bad guys, too, like the Thénardiers, the innkeeper and his wife. There are robbers involved. There's a tyrannical government that is oppressive and so on. And those guys are bad, but they suffer too. So it's a world of sufferers. Everyone is suffering. Les misérables. But the question is, are you suffering and acting rightly, or are you suffering and acting badly? They go two different ways. And I'll offer two solutions for this misery, law and grace. Law and grace. Law and grace. That's what the show is about. The law is personified by the policeman Javert. Javert, who goes around enforcing the letter of the law in every case, convinced that he's bringing the only good that can be brought in the world. And grace is personified by the Bishop of Digne, who offers Valjean grace by offering him these candlesticks after he's stolen a lot of silver. And Valjean himself then personifies the effects of grace on a life, and his life is different from the time that he receives that grace onward. So, let's talk about the music. The opening number, maybe what I'll do is play you the opening number first from the film, and then we can talk about what actually happens in the music. This is the opening of the film.
Thank you. Your time is up and your parole's begun. You know what that means.
Yes, he's now free.
No. Follow to the letter your itinerary. This badge of shame will show it till you die. It warns you're a dangerous man. Go alone to Greg.
Sister's child was close to death. He was starving.
You'll starve again unless you learn the meaning of the law.
Know the meaning of those 19 years.
Slave of the law. 5 years for what you did. The rest because you tried to run. Yes, 24601.
Game is sundown gone.
And I'm Javert. Do not forget my name.
Do not forget me.
24601.
Indulge myself for a second. It just occurred to me. Not a great recording. But I want you to hear this. Skip ahead. Here we go.
Down, 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 standing in your grave.
Well, you get an idea what singers can sound like. That's a bad recording of an amateur production.
Well,
you know, that's my production. So you know that if they can sing it that well, you'd think that the guys on the movie would do a better job. However, that wasn't their intention, so I'm not here just to cast asparagus at people. Anyway, so here's what I want to tell you about the music, though. You keep hearing... If I use sol-fed syllables, will you be okay? Do, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Can I use words like that? If you name the intervals in the scale, the notes in the scale, la, 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 that's your scale, la. And they're singing, or you could say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which is the scale, okay? So they're singing 5, 1, 5, 1 over and over again. Do you hear it? 5, 1, 5, 1, 5, 1, 5, 6, 7, flat 7, 8, 5, 1, 5, 1, 8, 1 is the same thing. Okay. That's what the composer used to signify oppression. That's the oppression theme in the show, if you want to think of it that way. Body, 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 body. If you play those two notes, body, you imply this harmony. But that A flat shouldn't be singing. Stop that. Anyway, that's the note that's missing. Because you're only hearing that, you're not hearing that, you see? It's implied in the orchestra, but the singers aren't singing it. That's what the singers are singing. And then finally, there it is. It's interesting that that's the note that's sick. There. And don't let me catch you out again. But the point is that ba-da-da-da is a representative oppression. Now, do you know what it is that Javert sings when he actually starts singing by himself? He sings, now bring me prisoner 24601. Your time is up and your parole's begun. You know what that means. It's the same two notes. You hear it, da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. That's all he knows to sing. He's the man who represents the oppression, you see? Da dee da da dee da da dee da da dee. And then when Valjean opens his mouth, he goes, yes, it means I'm free. Another new note altogether. A melody is starting. Not by accident. It's part of the plan. So here he is offering this oppression, and Valjean and Javert are pitted against each other right off the bat. It's a great opening. Then Valjean goes about trying to find work, and in doing so is turned away at every turn because of the fact that he's got this yellow ticket of leave that he's been given. He's an ex-con, and whenever anybody asks for papers for identification, he has to show them the fact that he's been in jail. And he's been in jail for 19 years. He was given 4 years, I think, for stealing this loaf of bread, and then he tried to escape. And he was tacked on another 15. So when he finally is given his yellow ticket, he's been in jail for 19 years. That hard labor. Well, then he goes about trying to find work, and he can't find work anywhere, or he does for a very short time, and then he's thrown out. And eventually he's taken in. He's found on the street by this bishop. And the bishop asks him into his house and offers him food and drink and rest, and he's amazed. But he thinks the bishop a fool for allowing him access to all of the bishop's silver. And he pockets all of that silver and runs off into the night, but only to be captured by the policeman and brought back to be accused by the bishop. And this is the scene.
Monsignor, we have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
Get the nerve to say you gave him this.
that is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these altars. Would you leave the best behind? Monsieur, listen. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyr, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for God.
That's the example of grace. Now, what I've got here is, I want you to remember the face of that bishop. Did you remember his face? Do you know who he is? The actor? His name is Colm Wilkinson. And Colm Wilkinson is the man who opened as Jean Valjean on Broadway back in 1985 or whatever. They gave him a cameo in the film. But this, at the 10th anniversary concert, is him singing Valjean. Listen to that. Same scene.
Tell your fellow the soft doggy that a seed of seed impressed. You were looking here last night, you were the honest bit of death. And then out of the tenderness, when you learned about your plight, you maintain he made a present of the silver.
That is right. But my friend, you left early. Surely something slipped your mind. You forgot I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind?
He is all done.
So, monsieur, you may release him, for this man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty, and God's blessing will be with you. But remember this, my brother. In this some higher plan, you must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyr, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for God. Yeah.
This is the response.
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night. Become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far? And is the hour so late that nothing remains but the cry of my hate? The cries in the dark that nobody hears. Here where I stand, the turning of the years. If there's another way to go, I missed it 20 long years ago. My life was a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and they murdered Valjean when they came me and left me for dead. Just for stealing a mouthful of bread. Why did I allow this man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. he gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claimed for God above. Trusting me, for I had come to hate the world. This world that always hated me.
Okay, so this is how I've always lived. I've lived this way. The world hates me. I hate the world. I take an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I live that way, you know. Could there be any other way to go? Well, perhaps. Well, I lost track of where my thing is. Hold on a second. Here we go. Let me play you this.
Now every door is closed to me and I'm a kid.
That's wrong. Okay, here it is.
Jesus, what have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. And have I fallen so far, and it's the hour so late? And nothing remains but the cry of my hate, the cry from the dark that nobody hears. Here I stand at the turning of the years.
What he auditioned on.
It's a way to fight this. I've been 20 long years ago. I was on a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and they heard it held strong. But it changed me and left me for dead. Feeling a mouthful of bread. Yet why did I allow this man to touch my soul and keep me long? He treated me like any other. Gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claimed for God above. Can such things be? For I had come to hate the world. This world that always hated me. Take it by for an eye. Turn your heart into stone. This is all I have lived for. This is all I have known. What word from him did I see back? Write the lash upon the rack. My three parts. I feel my shame inside me like a knife. Control me that I have a soul. How does he know? What spirit comes to move my life? Is there another way to go? I am reaching.
Remember this.
What I thought.
Reaching
where I thought. The night is closing in. And I stare into the void. To the whirlpool of my sin. I'll escape now from that world. From the world of John Valjean. And the journey is nothing now. And the story.
That was the, and all that you've heard so far is just the prologue to the play. The next thing that happens is dee da 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 dee da da da, and we have the beginning of the play, Les Miserables. Well, I turned to my director when I heard him sing that the first time, and I said, let's go home. That's fantastic. So, here's the thing. This guy has been given this grace, and now he can't live with himself anymore. He is confronted with a completely different way of looking at the world, that one that he had never considered, never thought was possible, made possible by the generosity and the grace of this bishop. And he says, is there another way to go? And the answer is, yes, there is. And if there's another way to go, what is it? I have to die, and he has to live in me. That's the only way out. The call of Christianity is not come and be a good person. I don't think Jesus cares two whits about you being a nice person. I really don't. I think he cares about you being a faithful person. And he will bring about the good in you. But you've got to be faithful. And that's what this was. Is there another way to go? I think there is. I'm going to take it. But it means I die to myself, and I live a new life. He gets a new name. He lives a different life. He hides from the law. He has to hide from the law because in tearing up his papers and disappearing, he's now on the run forever, basically. They've got to track him down, and that's the way of the play. But the next scene in the play after this is 9 years later in his life. And he has become mayor of a little town in France, Valjean has, under another name. And he creates a factory to employ people. He becomes mayor and he intercedes for other people. He saves a woman called Fantine from jail. He cares for Fantine when she gets ill in the hospital. He promises Fantine when it becomes apparent that she's going to die of her illness that he will take her daughter and adopt the daughter and take care of her. He lifts a heavy cart off a man who's been hit by it, trapped by it. He redeems that daughter, Cosette, and raises her. He joins with an idealistic bunch of students fighting an oppressive government. He prays for young student Marius to be saved from death. He even saves the life of the policeman Javert, and then saves Marius' life as well. All of that as a result of this conversion that you've just seen. That's what he does for the rest of his life. He thinks about other people. He cares for other people. He sacrifices himself over and over again for the benefit of others. And he saves at one point a man wrongly accused of his crime. He hears one day that the police have finally captured the elusive Jean Valjean. And this man is going to be sent back to prison. And that he's going to the judge to be sentenced today. And then Valjean has to think, I'll finally be free. If they accuse this other guy falsely, they'll stop looking for me. I won't have to look over my shoulder all the time. But it means someone else will be sent to pay for my crimes. And he sings another song of introspection called Who Am I? And he sings the line, if I speak, I am condemned. But if I stay silent, I am damned. Which is worse? For Valjean, there's no comparing these two things. Prison is nothing when rightly seen against damnation. God has shown him grace. How can he go against this God? He says the line in the song, my soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. And so what he does is go to the court and show everybody his tattoo, 24601, across his chest, and says, this man is innocent. Let him go. I'm the guy you want. Turns himself in. Well, as it works out, he gets away again. But the next bit I want to play to you is the song that Javert sings. A very powerful, powerful song called Stars.
Out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God, fallen from grace. God be my witness, I never shall yield, till we come face to face, till we come face to face. Notice way in the dark, mine is the way of the Lord. Those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. And if they fall as Lucifer fell, the flames the gold. God, in your multitude, just to be counted.
Okay. As you can tell, Russell Crowe is a tremendous actor. Tremendous actor. But he can't sing this song. And I want you to hear somebody who can. Listen to this. This isn't even a performance on stage. I don't think this fellow has ever sung the thing as a role. But his name, this is the right key for it, too. You'll notice it's much higher. This is a voice.
Out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God, fallen from grace. God be my witness, I never shall yield, till we come face to face, till we come face to face. He knows his way in the dark. Mine is the way of the Lord. Those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. And if you fall at the foot of the fell, you'll fall in grace. Now, in your multitude, to be counted, filling the darkness with order and light. You are the sentinel, silent and sure, keeping watch in the night, keeping watch in the night.
You know your place in the sky.
You hold your cause and your aim, and each in your season returns and returns.
Everywhere,
and it's always the same.
And
if you fall and look in a fell, the flames that fall. And so it must be, for so it is written on the doorway to paradise. That those who fall and those who fall must pay the price.
That's terrifying. The doorway to paradise is those who falter and those who fall must pay the price.
Let me find him that I may see him safe behind bars. I will never rest.
Yeah, it's a very powerful song, don't you think? This is the bad guy. You know, in most of our TV shows and most of our movies and so on, the bad guys are wimps compared to this guy. They want, you know, to rob the bank. They want to get the diamonds. They want to rule the world. This guy wants to serve God. That's what he's doing. He's convinced to the sole of his shoes that he is doing the right thing. I am the sword of God in this world, you see? And he sings a song that gives you the inner thought of this character. That's how he sees himself. It is noble work that he's doing. And yet, he's the guy who's got it wrong. hard to imagine. I mean, if you see the show, and at the end of that song, you're stirred to want to be like him, you have to go, wow, that's powerful music. It talked me into, you know, this kind of legalism that is deadly. Jesus had his harshest words for people like this. His harshest words were for Pharisees who thought they were righteous, that they had it all together, and that they were doing God's work by keeping the law. Don't get me wrong. We keep the law, right? The law is good. The law is glorious. But we don't keep it that way. We keep it out of love. Now, the stars never change, and the music is uplifting and stirring and teaches you about high morality and all that. And then you begin to realize that you've been swept up in it. It is an encouraging activity. One of the most long-suffering guys, good guys in Les Mis, is the daughter of the bad guy Thénardier. Éponine is her name. And she grew up with Cosette, but serves as a good picture of what happens to you if you don't have a Valjean to come and look after you. She falls in love with the young man Marius, just like Cosette does, who in turn loves Cosette. He loves her, though, Cosette. In one of the most poignant moments in the show, she sings this next song. The tune is one that comes up many times in the musical in poignant moments. The tune actually is recurring. Used at different moments. And this is the time that you hear it for the most fully. And I want to play you a recording of it from that 10th anniversary show I think the girl in the film actually does a very competent job, so don't get me wrong. But I think this is my favorite reading of it. And it's by somebody you may recognize. If you don't know her by face, you may recognize her by the sound of her voice. If you know her name, don't tell me. Don't tell anybody yet. Or if you know what she sung, let's see if I can get to the beginning of it. That's from the film, excuse me. Come on.
Without the hope, without
the strength, without the things
to say hello to you.
This
is
sounds like a
familiar voice. Now the night is easy. Now I feel it's easy.
Good
morning. Sometimes I walk alone at night when everybody else is sleeping. And then I'm happy with the company I'm keeping.
Forever.
I gotta let you go. If you don't recognize that voice, perhaps you'll remember the voice that sang Jasmine in the film Disney version of Aladdin. She also sang Mulan. So if you got those two, give yourself extra points. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll pick up from there when we get together tonight.